Whoa. Well, that was something completely different, wasn't it? I loved that. This new album, Screen Sounds,
yeah,
has film and TV themes on it.
Yeah, or sometimes it's music that was featured in a film, you know. Uh-huh. So the way I like to describe it is it's like a personal soundtrack or a musical tapestry. So sometimes they are actual themes like that, or like we do the theme from Taxi, or Twin Peaks is on there, uh-huh, or Blade Runner. But sometimes there will be like a song or something that was featured very prominently in a movie on there as well.
I saw The Young and the Restless on there.
That's right. That's on there.
What is that called? Nadia's?
Nadia's theme, right.
Is that the theme song from the opening of it? Or?
Yeah, that, you know, the sappy
it's
piano.
Piano, yeah, usually,
it's
right?
The piano, yeah. But I've got the piano part on bass, like, oh, with all the... we did the, that one turned into like a crazy kind of psychedelic fantasy of The Young and the Restless.
So how did you determine, I mean, all of these TV and film themes and songs over the years, how did you determine which ones to pick?
So the thing I really appreciate also, not to go back to Pops again, but because we have the luxury of playing together, there's a lot of music we're working on, right? And then all of a sudden, like West Side Story, I didn't sit down and I was like, I'm going to write a suite for West Side Story for Jazz Trio. It was like, I brought in a couple tunes that I'd always liked. I was having fun with it. People responded to them well. Next thing I know, I just thought, well, maybe we'll figure it out and do a project. And we did a couple concerts of the in its entirety with no breaks in between. So it was like a full suite. And then I thought, well, this would be cool. Let's go ahead and record it, you know. And at that time, I wasn't really taking the trio that seriously. You know, it was just more I had this nice gig and I wanted to document it. And then as things kind of got more serious and we put out that second record called Pops, which we can talk about later, but... You know, I've always been a huge movie and TV fan, and I was just bringing in different music. Next thing you know, I had enough that started to feel like an album. And then that's where really the fun got. It'd be like, well, what if we did Nadia's theme? You know, and I remember I brought it in the first time, and I gave it to Dave, and he's like, I don't know about this one.
I'm more of a General Hospital fan.
Yeah, right.
Days of Our Lives, I'm on board, you know, like sands through the hourglass.
And now we know what you guys watch in your free time.
Yeah, right.
Well, there's so many different places that, you know, we can draw from, you know, musically.
Absolutely.
And it's great to see you kind of breaking out of the standard, you know, let's just do an arrangement of a jazz standard, or, you know, or even writing originals, which is incredible. But to find some of those little hidden gems, you know, and just, let's turn it on its head.
And I think also, I mean, you know, Pops is a cool place, don't get me wrong, but it is not designed as a listening room. You know, I mean, it's set, and so it honestly provides the best environment where if we're doing something that can get the room to turn around, like a room that is not designed, then you really know, you're like, wow, this is a jazz group that's actually crossing over. And the other thing is that we've noticed time and time again is, you know, for example, we just started a new arrangement. We have this one of Take On Me from A-ha. You can get away with murder in the middle because they've already provided a context for them, so they'll go along for the ride.
Right.
And then because of that, the next tune could be something, you know, it could be a straight up and down Charles Lloyd tune, and they're already on board, so they'll stay with you. Now, you can't take that too far, so there's kind of a negotiation of that. But I really appreciate the fact that I don't feel like we're pandering to anybody. I do legitimately like these songs and this music, and I enjoy the challenge of finding ways to do them. But I, you know, I really like the fact that you can bring an audience on board to something that I don't feel like compromises its integrity, you know? It's still a little bit of an envelope pusher and, you know.
Yeah, it's so important. I mean, you have to find a way to draw people in.
Absolutely.
And like you say, people, they might not be listening at all. It's not a listening room. But you play something that's a little familiar, and then, like, they're in.
Absolutely.
And then they're open to check out your improvisation.
That's what I mean.
You know, like, it's great.
We've got some songs, you know, that go into these, like, long, seriously, like, open free sections, you know, noise, free thing. And they're just smiling, looking at, you know,
what song is
wine.
This?
Oh, this is great, you know?
Yeah. Wow. So. That's beautiful.
Arguably, Nadia's theme is probably the hardest thing that we play. One of the hardest things that we play. Like, the middle section of it is rough.
Yeah. Exactly. It's like, it kind of devolves into, like, total noise.
Wow.
There are a few things that are kind of more familiar to a wide array of people than it just reminds me of summertime, like summer break, sitting at home, and I was like, what is this? I'm usually at school when this is on. You hear that theme, and good time to turn the TV off.
Right.
Price is Right is over.
Yeah, right, right.
Well, what else would you like to play today for us?
Well, I think we'd like to maybe, you know, do some of the original music.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
What do we have on here? This next one is based off of a standard I think a lot of people know. It's written by Kurt Vile, Speak Low, but we kind of turned it on its ear. So this is our version, kind of a reimagining of the song. We call it Speak Slowly. Thank you.
That is fun. So that's a contrafact over the tune Speak Low, which means you wrote a new melody pre-existing form, chord changes.
Yeah, on the head, it's a little bit goofy from, you know, from what the actual tune is. The blowing, right. We just keep the regular Speak Low changes. But there's just some, like the bridge goes into a different meter thing in there. But it is actually, it basically follows the same gestures of the song.
Right. And then on the way out, though, it got really crazy.
Yeah, we just have that little, it's still the same bridge. We just went gesture-based.
Gesture. So you were following, who was following who at that point?
We don't. Okay. Everybody's it's a collective, it's like an amoeba.
Yeah.
On purpose, you know.
That's beautiful. And then the tempo kind of went up a couple of notches for the last.
Oh, yeah. That's just, after that, we just, that's the kind of stuff that happened. We never, ever talked about that. And then one night we started just playing around with him. We thought it was fun. And then Dave just came at a totally different tempo. And now it's become kind of a set thing, you know?
I think that's like a testament to, especially as jazz musicians where we work in several different bands, sometimes one-offs, you know? And then I think maybe sometimes we forget that time is our best friend. Sometimes, you know, especially with some of my younger students that play, you know, they don't sound so great at the beginning of the year, but we use time as our best friend. You put them in the same room on a 3-hour gig 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Ability and facility aside, they're going to come up with a language of their own. And I think that's kind of the case with any band. This band is fortunate to play 3 days a week where it's like you could put, you know, 3 ducks in a room and give them instruments, they're going to come up with something in a couple weeks, you know, if you give it really a good amount of time. Yeah. So it's like these little moments that happen that seem like, well, it's who's leading or this section or what decision made. It's like really just time, you know, to the point where you know each other really well and you trust each other. And it's almost the game of like, let's speak the same sentence at the same time. And sometimes one person's leading and back forth. I mean, you know this. But these moments, especially in this last one on that bridge out, it's just kind of like each phrase is its own gesture and has its own space. Sometimes it moves a little quicker. Sometimes it really gets drawn out. And those are my favorite moments, you know.
Yeah, there's nothing like a band.
Yeah, like absolutely.
Guys like that that you just trust.
Yeah.
You spent time with, like you said. Yeah. And you don't have to talk about it. And it can change from night to night.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. So have you recorded that?
No, we haven't done, actually we've recorded none of the originals. That's actually kind of the next thing that we're grumbling about for the, you know, I mean, this Screen Sounds pretty much just came out, so we're gonna work on that one for a minute. But we do tend to, you know, we do tend to think kind of one step ahead, just since, and like I said, also I think in order to keep things fresh so that like on the weeklies, you know, we can be working on a whole batch of new music or, you know, seasoning something that we've had for a while. And then if we need to go out and then play, I mean, because there are times like, you know, after this tour and then the things, like sometimes we spend like, you know, 15, 20 days together in a stretch, you know, like that's a lot to play with people, and it better be interesting and fun for everybody or else you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
You know, I think that we can take a break from the material that we're going to hit really, really hard, like when we go out. Because, you know, when you're playing new cities or festivals, there's like, you know, we have like a festival set that we feel like works best in terms of, you know, people always look at a trio especially and they're like, oh, that's not going to be able to cut through. But I mean, this group has a lot of texture and stuff. So, we have routines that we'll need to do at certain times, but I think always keeping one step ahead and working on and keeping the material rotating. And, you know, I'm very conscientious about that as the quote unquote leader of this thing. You know, I don't want any fatigue of any bit. So maybe we'll kind of slow things down a little bit. This is a song that was very succinctly and just titled Plain Song. Thank you.
Plain song. There wasn't anything plain about that. With all of your tunes today and a lot of the things I listen to online, I feel like I'm going on a journey on every tune. Like I should have worn my seatbelt. You know? I should have buckled up.
Thanks.
I mean, there's so many twists and turns, and it's so eclectic. I mean, you hear so many different styles and probably influences, you know, that you all have. And I'm just wondering, you know, what's inspiring you guys lately? I'm interested to know, you know, if we had to look at your playlist, you know, your recent playlist this week, or maybe it's not music, maybe it's literature, art, or film, or you know, or politics. We don't have to talk about that. but you know,
it's definitely politics is not inspiring right now. That's it. But
you know, yeah.
I'll let go around.
Everything, but
right.
I've been checking out Foley artists. So early radio, the sound effect guys. Guys that would, you know, do the horse with the coconuts type thing, or the rattles, and like non-musical instruments used for sound making things. So I'm kind of fascinated on how there's actually not a whole lot online about Foley artists. So lately I've been trying to find records, you know, of storytelling, and then finding out what the Foley artist is doing, because a lot of them are percussionists. A lot of them are jazz drummers, you know, maybe not known jazz drummers, but, you know, there would be a scene where they would play brushes on a snare drum, and it would be like Vernell on, it would sound like Vernell, or sound like Papa Jojo. It was just like, well, clearly this is not a mistake. He's not playing the idea of jazz drumming, like that's really good brush playing. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what's the relationship between, you know, drummer's history and Foley artists? Is like, if you want a curveball, there's your curveball.
That's nice. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Just sitting here listening to you and watching you, that makes total sense.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's kind of on the hunt right now. Not so much in it, but that's where I'm looking next, I guess.
Okay, so Michael, when I see you next time, I want to see the coconuts.
Yeah, I'll have coconuts.
Hear the horses. What about you, Dave?
I think generally speaking, just a lot of singers lately, and I guess as of late, singers like Karen Dalton or Bobby Charles. That's somebody we've all been listening to lately, actually. But or John Simon, or these are all people that were kind of around the Woodstock area in the late 60s and the 70s, when the band was kind of centered around there, and Bob Dylan and all those people were living there at the time. And Albert Grossman, who was Bob Dylan's manager, had a record label called Bearsville Records. And a lot of these singers were putting out albums, and like the first few Todd Rundgren albums were put out on this label as well. He was living there at the time as well. And but Karen Dalton in particular, is kind of, she's a folk singer, I guess, if you want to boil it down, and guitarist, but she's kind of coming a lot from Billie Holiday, but imagine that in kind of a folk guitar setting, and almost like the creepy factor is turned up a little bit on that too. How Billie Holiday has this kind of like sort of like ghostly sound to her voice, or somehow mysterious, more mysterious than you would think, like Ella Fitzgerald or something like that, right? You know, that aspect of Billie's voice is very much in Karen's voice, and there's something very mysterious and haunting about her music as well. And I just love the phrasing of her, and of course Billie, she has that part of Billie in her as well. So just really, a lot of what I do is just trying to work on playing melodies, thinking like a singer, I guess. So yeah, a lot of singers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. How about you, Joe?
Well, on the jazz side, I mean, a lot of the stuff that was some of my earliest influences has really stayed with me, and I'll keep checking out or checking out little satellites of that. So, you know, I'm a humongous Jerry Mulligan fan. Like, I love that quartet, and I've been involved in a lot of projects that deal with that music. The concert, there's a group called the Mulligan Mosaics Big Band that I was an integral member of, and then a small group called Jeru that plays that music and writes music in that vein. And then, you know, I love Jimmy Giuffre. Like we mentioned, Chico. I feel like Chico is constantly in my playlist. I love Ornette, and I, you know, again, some of the and from that point, it's like, you know, going down the Charlie Hayden route, and then all the, you know, the projects and things that he's done. Mm-hmm. I've been listening to Liberation Orchestra. I feel like I kind of skipped over that, and I've been getting into that a little bit more deeply. But then, you know, there's, again, like, it's a pretty wide playlist. You know, there's this Canadian singer that I love named Afi Gervanian. He's got a band called The Bahamas, and they're just they're up and running again. They got a new album coming out, so I've been kind of digging back into them. And I also love classic country, and I've been on a little bit of a country kick as well. And you know, right now there's some Waylon and Willie in the car and some Johnny Cash and things. Yeah. But you know, I mean I think, like anybody, and I mean I think everybody's playlist, I mean if you like music, there isn't a style in which there isn't gonna be something great.
Right.
You know. I just don't like, and that being said, I don't think everything needs to inform your jazz playing, you know, and vice versa. Just if you're a jazz player, that doesn't need to, if you're involved in side projects outside of that. But if you can find, you know, at least I think what my hope for this group is, like, regardless of what we're playing, I hope that people hear the sound of the trio. And so that it's like, whether you're listening to something as disparate as a version that we'll do of Dolly Parton's Jolene or our original tunes, that it feels like it's all under the same umbrella. And it's like, wow, that's cool that they did that in that way. Because what I hope people don't get from it, and I usually don't think people have this reaction, is that it's like scattershot, you know, that it's like all these different sounds thrown at them. I mean, obviously there's a wide palette here, but I really hope, at least I hope, it has this very unified sound.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I was thinking that just listening to you just today with these few tunes is, even though it's in some way all over the place and super eclectic, it's like there's still this sound, there's a cohesion to it.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's the primary goal, I think, so.
Well, we have time, I think, for one more tune, but before we jump into that and you play us out, I want to let our listeners know that they can find you all online, of course. Mm-hmm. The website's the name of the website is thejptrio.com.
That's correct.
And it's got all the music there. It's got some great videos. You can find out when these guys are going to be near you. And you can purchase the music there. Mm-hmm. Online. You can get a CD. Remember those things? CDs?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. Or you can download music.
Yeah, it's also, it's available through Amazon, iTunes, like all digital and regular media outlets, it's available.
Yeah, and of course you guys are on social media, so they can like you and friend you that
Instagram,
way.
Instagram, Facebook, all of that stuff.
So the Joe Policastro Trio, and thank you so much, Dave Miller, Michael Avery.
Thank you,
and
Keith.
Joe Policastro.
Thanks for having
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Keith.
This has been a real treat, and why don't you play us out with something?
All right. Well, we'll do something. We skipped over the Pops album. I think we'd like to go back and do something from that. This is the earliest one of the quote-unquote pop tunes. This one comes from the late 60s from Burt Bacharach, a song that's best left to instrumental versions, given its rather sexist lyrics. This is Wives and Lovers, and this is one that Dave arranged.